The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Sunday morning, you are listening to Beat, and let's meet my next guest. His name is Jake Dowling. He's in his 20s. He lives in Goree in County Wexford. And today, Jake intends to run the Dublin Marathon, like thousands of other people, obviously. But Jake is going to do it in a pair of jeans. He's doing it for a cause that's close to his heart, and he joins me on the Sunday Grill this morning to tell us more. Hello, Jake. You're very welcome.
Thanks, Orla. How are you?
I'm really good. I find this story really intriguing, and I think it takes a lot of confidence in both a physical and a people looking at you way to run a marathon in your jeans.
Yeah, well, there's a physical aspect of it, which is I'm actually more comfortable with that. It's the actual, the eyes and stuff can be a bit uncomfortable. I'm kind of doing it all for the charity and stuff, but that comes with like articles in the newspaper.
You don't like that?
Interviews and stuff like, and would... I'm a bit of an introvert. I'm a bit like sort of just in the background, nice and quiet, but it's all for the charity, so it's...
And tell us what that charity is.
That's the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland.
And it's a charity close to your heart, isn't it?
It is, yeah. My Nana Anne was diagnosed with Alzheimer's when I was pretty young.
Okay.
And there was just little bits that I would have seen as a kid, and then as I got older, I saw the sadder parts with my mum and stuff. She wouldn't recognise my mum and my mum's sisters and brothers, and then I would go and visit her in her care home with my granddad, and she obviously didn't recognise him, and that's his wife of decades and decades. So
I think when
I first signed up for the half marathon in Clontarf, I was just going to run it, and then gave you the option to sign up for a charity. So that's where it kind of started.
Okay, good stuff. And are you a runner? Are you a natural runner?
I've played sports most of my life, and so I think I probably have that. I've been lifting weights and stuff now for about 4 or 5 years pretty consistently. So I would say I'm pretty natural.
Okay. And is this your first year running, or have you been taking part?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you never run in normal sports gear before then when it comes to actual races?
I signed up for the Fingal 10K initially back in, I think, April. And then I went and said, I'd done a 10K and I was like, right, I think I could do more. So I'd done the half marathon. So I ran the half marathon in jeans, but I had no training because I tore my meniscus in my knee.
Okay.
So I just showed up on the day and just ran it.
Okay. And that was a few weeks ago, was it? Like maybe four or five weeks ago.
July, actually.
Okay.
July, yeah.
A lot of people do that half marathon in order to get ready for the marathon itself. So,
yeah.
Look, let's start at the very beginning, which isn't a very far away place to start, because when did you decide I'm going to take a pair of jeans and run a few races?
It was after the Clontarf half marathon. After I signed up, I saw a guy on YouTube, Tua Haynes, and he's puts out content where he runs.
Yeah, he's quite well known, isn't he?
And he runs loads of marathons and jeans. I just thought he was a cool dude and that I'd try it myself. So
okay. And when did you have a little mini run in a pair of jeans, or what did you do?
No, just tried them on in pennies and said, I think they'll do. And I just showed up on the day of the half marathon and thought they're actually kind of comfortable.
So what kind of jeans are they? Are they flared? Are they skinny? Low rise? High rise?
No, they're just your typical jeans.
Men's pair of jeans.
Yeah, just typical men's pair of jeans.
So straight legged.
Really about them.
Blue jeans.
Yeah, straight leg, that's it. Yeah,
like, would you wear them out yourself if you had them, if they weren't for
you
running?
You could. They're very versatile. You can wear them going to
work.
Well,
obviously they are.
Or going to the pub.
Or going for a run. And do you wear them with a belt or...?
I wear them at a belt, I do. Yeah.
Okay, because obviously they'd fall down if you were running 22 or the marathon length. Yeah. And then I presume you're wearing a good pair of runners, which is all important.
I did, I did. I bought some expensive runners to make sure I'm, just to help out a bit.
Taken away from that. And are they sweaty when you run with them? How do they feel?
I think I've experienced the worst of it because we ran... That half marathon was the day where we had about 30 degrees that Saturday, if you remember, in July.
Yes.
And I ran that and it was in Clontarf down on the pier.
Wow.
So there was no protection there. So
okay.
I think I should be okay next week.
Okay. And was there chafing or anything, did you?
No, I actually finished and was like, that wasn't bad at all. So.
And do you wear them full length? Like you're not rolling them up or anything?
No, they're just full length, yeah.
Wow. Okay. You're so breezy about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's no point in panicking. I've experienced them. So I'm just going to, do it, I suppose. I haven't really thought too much about how I'm not going to do it.
Okay, fair play to you. And is this your first marathon?
It is, yeah.
Okay. I see lots of people training for the marathon around County Wexford, where you're from, and there seems to be an awful lot of building up on the mileage. So, you know, and then tapering. Have you been doing all of this in your jeans?
No. The jeans is just an on-the-day thing I'm training.
Is that a good idea?
I think so, because the training, when no one's looking and no one's watching, it's tough enough as it is to go out and run half marathon and stuff. Like, it's not very glamorous, you know. So I know what the jeans feel like. I leave it till the day and it's a bit of excitement. Okay.
And have you a time you'd like to run the marathon in?
I should sub 4 hours,
4 hours, okay.
So
you're not putting too much pressure on yourself, like you don't want to be under three hours or in a pair of jeans. I think that might be
a world record. First marathon, you just want to enjoy it and run my goal is to run the whole thing and just enjoy it, and I'll worry about timing and stuff after.
And when you did the Dublin half and you ran in your jeans, you know, was it all weird reactions or are people enjoying it, or do they think you're a bit of a spoofer?
No, there was people who I think recognised what I was doing and they were cheering me on and stuff. And then when I was running by people, they were going in jeans, like, you know, because I started a bit far back and then I kind of just floated up. Chew the pack, and then on the way home, then it was well. So I was getting a few people looking at me as I was going by them.
I just think of people who train for months and years for something, and then they see someone running by them in jeans. I think I'd be a bit miffed by that as well.
Yeah.
And are you looking forward to the marathon?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Are you running anyone?
No, just by myself.
Just by yourself. Okay.
Just by myself. Me and my earphones. Yeah.
Okay, maybe like Colin Farrell was the big star of it last year. Maybe you'll be the
big star of it this year
in your jeans.
That'd be cool.
You never know. And will you have an Alzheimer's of Ireland running top or anything like that so people know you're doing it for charity?
I'll have the purple top on, yeah.
Okay, good stuff. What was your granny's name?
Anne.
So you're running...
Nana.
Nana. You're running for Nana Anne and for the charity, the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, in a pair of Penny's jeans. How much were the jeans, Jake?
€18.
Oh, nice. So not too cheap or anything. Yeah. But And are they solely for running or do you ever put them on a day that everything's in the wash?
I wore them once for the half marathon and then I washed them after and they've been folded in my... Okay. Ever since I took them out and tried them on Tuesday and they're still intact. They still feel flexible.
Okay. So. And have you squatted in them and all those things?
No, I just gave them a little leg shake.
You're very relaxed about this.
Yeah.
Are you a relaxed person in general? Do things not faze you?
I think so. Not in a like overly confident way or something like that. It's kind of just my approach to everything. Nothing drastic's going to happen if I have to stop and walk around. I don't want to do any of that now, but
You would do want to run it all.
So,
okay.
Yeah,
all right.
I'll run it all, yeah.
But you're not catastrophizing anything?
No. At the end of the day, I'm running a marathon. There's much more. There's different other pressures in the world. But it's a privilege to run the marathon.
Yeah, fair play to you. Well, it is on next weekend. I'll say that again. It is on today. Watch out for Jake. Now, I did this last year. You can actually track people's times. So if you want to search for Jake, he is Jake Dowling and it's the Irish Life Dublin Marathon.ie. But more importantly, if you would like to donate to Jake's charity of choice, which is the Alzheimer's Association of Ireland, how will they find the link to do that, Jake?
It's on my Instagram.
Okay.
It's just there in my bio. My bio is all open.
Okay, so good stuff. So that's just Jake
grateful for that.
Dowling. If you search for that, it's Jake Dowling.
Jake
Dowling 97.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Best of luck. Run like the wind in your jeans.
Thanks, Laura.
I don't even know if I've ran in jeans before for anything.
Can I give a shout out can I give a shout out to my partner who asked if I was going to talk about her today? I told her I'd embarrass her now.
What's her name?
She's been huge. Her name's Preeti.
Okay.
She's been a huge help.
And has she been running in jeans as well, or has she been even running?
She ran the half marathon with me. She did.
Fair play to her.
And that running is not her team.
Okay. Wow. 22 kilometers. Fair play to her. And fair play to you doing it for a great cause in a pair of jeans. That is Jake Dowling from Gorey in County Wexford. I'll watch out for you on the Courtown Road, Jake, running in the jeans after the marathon. Thanks a million for talking to me this morning.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Your music now, you're listening to Beat, and Halloween is almost upon us. But for my next guest, Halloween is almost every day of the year. She is Karen Morn, and she is part of Para Girls, and they are, well, I'll let Karen explain what they are. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Good to talk to one of the Paragals, isn't that how we say it?
That's it, yeah.
So tell us about the Paragals. What do you do?
Well, basically, there's four of us on the team.
Yeah.
We're good friends, so we all had this kind of interest. So we said, we're going to start up a team now and go around. So what we do basically is we go to different locations and investigate for the paranormal.
Okay.
We go to, like, you know, like Loftus Hall, Wicklow Jail, places like that.
And then
we'll also go to ruins as well.
Okay. And when did you start all this?
This is 2025, about 3 years ago.
Okay, so it never really petered out or anything. You've just enjoyed it for the past 3 years.
That's it, yeah. Literally just went around, had the crack with each other.
Found your tribe.
Yeah, that's it.
And what is it about the paranormal that you're so interested in?
I think it's the not knowing.
Okay.
Like, is it there? Is it not there? Will something happen? Like, it'd take a lot for me to kind of go, okay, there's definitely something there.
Oh, like, okay. So you're kind of the skeptic, are you?
We're all very skeptical.
Okay.
Like, unless, you know, someone, like, we have seen our fair share. And we've seen things moving. We've heard things that aren't there. We've had our names called out. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when you see things moving, like doors closing, things going flying off chairs, you're like, uh-oh. Something's definitely there.
Wow. And has this been something you've been interested in since you were little, or is it something that's just grabbed a hold of you recently?
Well, for me personally, when I was younger, I used to be terrified of this stuff. I couldn't even watch a horror film.
Oh, I'm the same. Still am. Yeah.
But as the years went on, I just started getting into the horror films, and then we started going to public investigations. Myself and Serena went. And then we met Lisa and Emma, and then we kind of figured we're all into it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it built through the years, and then I've had my own experiences as well.
Okay. And like, what kind of experiences have you had?
Remember
now, it's early in the morning. We don't want to freak anyone out.
For me personally, my one thing that made me actually cry was myself and Lisa were in Loftus Hall.
Okay.
And I was followed throughout the house.
Like, what you felt you were followed?
Yeah. Okay. And he was following me throughout the house anyway. And he kind of just targeted me and would only answer my questions in the last session.
Okay.
And he was just very aggressive, if you want to put it that way.
Okay.
And
so not a nice poltergeist.
No, not at all.
Okay.
So we're like, that was the one thing that made me go, okay.
And Loftus Hall is
something there.
But Loftus Hall is, you know, it's rumored, you know, that was its tagline almost, the most haunted house in Ireland.
That's not a rumor.
You felt it. You felt that.
Definitely.
I don't even know where I'm going with this, but we all lose people and feel that people are with us still. Is that what it's about, or is it more a more ghostly, eerie kind of presence that you're looking for?
It's more of a ghostly, eerie kind of thing.
So you get a bit of a thrill from that.
Yeah, yeah. As regards going looking for lost ones, I wouldn't do that.
You're not interested
because you're going down a road that probably shouldn't be going down.
Yes,
kind of thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And do you love this time of year, Halloween?
Oh, I love it. Love, love, love Halloween.
What do you love about it?
I don't know. There's just like, there's a spooky atmosphere. No, everywhere you go, like even in work, like, you know, all the decorations and then you have the likes of today, all the kids coming in dressed up and all that. Like,
and you love
it's
that.
Good. It's good crack. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And is that the atmosphere you'd like all year round being a paragal?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you recently went to another venue, to Lismore in West Waterford. Where did you go down there?
We actually went to Lismore Heritage Centre.
Okay. And were you invited there or what?
We just actually emailed them to see did they do paranormal investigations, and they said, yep. Yeah. And we were like, grand.
Okay. And what is it about Lismore Heritage Centre? What did you find out about them?
It's not much, but it's more that because it used to be a court.
Okay.
You'll find places like that that used to be kind of things like courts, used to be hospitals, anywhere like that.
Mm-hmm.
That they will have something there.
Okay.
So it's kind of, and the fact that Lismore itself is full of history.
Oh, like if a spooky film had to be made anywhere, it should be made in a foggy Lismore.
Absolutely 100% agree with you there.
It's so beautiful as well. Yeah. So down you went and you went in to the Heritage Centre, which I think is in the middle of the town, isn't it? And as you said, it's a beautiful old building that used to be a courthouse. Doesn't look 100 miles off what Wicklow Jail looks like. And that's well known for all the different investigations that happened there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what happened when you got there?
Well, the four of us just went in and we all just kind of
felt it. You felt it.
Yeah, we all just looked at each other and I was like, oh God, there's definitely vibes here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you mean by vibes? What way did you feel?
On edge.
Okay.
And definitely something was following us around. Like more, like nothing bad or anything like that. It was more kind of, they were curious to see, okay, these are four new people.
Okay.
And they're four girls. What's going on here?
So, and was it nighttime when you went down?
Yeah, I think we had the place from 7 o'clock to 12 o'clock.
And were you a bit freaked? Like, is it a case of, oh, it's a bit scary anyway because it's dark and you're going down for a specific thing? Are you a little bit anxious going in there anyway?
No.
It's just your
thing. I think we're just so used to it now. We just let's just go into the place.
And what do you do then? Do you report back to the places that you've been in?
Yeah, we do sometimes. Like,
okay.
There's a few places we've gone where we've actually caught photographic evidence, and we'll text it onto the owner, going, "This is what we found, and all this." Yeah,
and why would they want to know what you found? Are they interested in it too?
Yeah, some of them are interested in it. Some don't want to know, but they'll let you potter away anyway. And yeah,
wow. And anywhere else in the southeast you've been that made you get that feeling? Like anywhere in Carlow or Tipperary, or I know you're based in Wexford, so I'm sure you've been to other places apart from Loftus Hall.
Oh, we have, yeah. We've been over to England and everything.
Have you? Wow.
Yeah.
And you have a podcast as well, don't you, if people want to get into Halloween mood. What's that called?
It's called Parachats with Paragals.
Parachats with the Paragals. And I think the hint is in the name of what you talk about.
Absolutely. Now, we're cracked. Like, we just go on and have the old chat about different spooky topics and mess with each other, mess and all about all that. Like,
and does it give does it make you feel energized? Or, you know, there's so much history in the places that you're going to. There must be some great backstories that are really intriguing.
Oh, there is. Like when I was in school, I hated history.
Yeah.
And then doing this, I'm like, oh my God, I'm actually finding out so much about the country, which is great as well. Like, I maybe say, well, I slept in a 13th century castle.
There you go.
You know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's really, really good to find out the history of the country as well.
And I suppose, like, everyone knows the story behind Loftus Hall and the playing cards and the devil, but there's much more than that going on there, isn't there?
100%. 100%.
Okay. So there's lots of stories from a house as old as that and other houses around Ireland, and that's what you're going to investigate.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, like, yeah, it's mental. It's mental what you find. Like, you could go into an everyday modern house and you'd be like, oh God.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Have a look at the Paragals Instagram, because they have some really interesting stuff there. Like, even this sound that you recorded back in the summertime in May. Do you remember that, when you recorded a paranormal kind of a sound that was happening wherever you'd been?
Oh, there's been so many now we found.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's lots of examples of their investigations, and then their website, or sorry, their podcast is called Parachat with the Paragirls, if you want to have a look at that. And you have all the equipment that you'd expect, all the meters and the various things that go along with paranormal activities. So you're not in it for the short term, you're in it for the long term, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Give me anything spooky.
Good stuff. Well, look, enjoy it. Thanks for talking to us, Karen. On the run up to Halloween, that is Karen Moore, and she is one half of the Para Girls. This is her favourite time of year, because she loves a paranormal investigation any time of the year, from summertime onwards, if you want it. Karen, enjoy Halloween, and thanks for talking to me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Sunday morning, you are listening to Beat. It is the Sunday Grill, and let's talk to my first guest this morning. It is the last weekend of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and my guest, Kira, is a poet, an author. Will we call you an author as well, since you've written a book of poems?
I guess I am now, yeah.
You are? Have you a bit of imposter syndrome?
Faking it till I make
exactly.
it, you know.
A sea swimmer, and she is a breast cancer survivor. Her name is Kira Foskin. She's part of a small percentage of women under 50 who develop triple negative breast cancer in Ireland. She has a new book of gorgeous poems out called Meet the Follicles. She's just after her book launch. Where did the book launch take place?
In the book centre in Waterford.
Lovely stuff. That's such a lovely venue for events as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And she joins me this morning. You're very, very welcome.
Thanks, Orla.
You've had quite the journey over the last couple of years, health and life-wise, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So where are you now? Are you kind of taking a deep breath and thinking back on all the things and trying to break it all down? Or are you like, get into the sea and forget about it all?
It's kind of a mix, Orla.
Okay.
I'm still in recovery. So my one complaint would be physically that I still suffer with cancer-related fatigue, like weakness in my legs. I do get winded still, which I don't enjoy.
Okay.
And like
winded? What do you mean? You get out of breath?
Breathing. Yeah. Still waiting on some more tests for that. But I am clear, to the best of my knowledge and to the best of the oncologist's knowledge. But it's been a year and a half of, I suppose, being in cancer. Recovery is very complicated, I think, because there's, you know, there's the physical side. I had major surgery June 2024.
Okay.
So just to rewind, my diagnosis would have been 8th of February 2024.
Okay.
So I was diagnosed last year, and I was hammered with kind of everything.
Okay. And did it come as a big shock, the diagnosis?
Oh my God, yeah. Like, I'm vegetarian, non-smoker. I would have been active. Mm-hmm. Love the sea, big sea swimmer, and just love being outdoors and positive attitude to life. I was working from home as a contractor, writing content with eBay actually, and taking care of my daughter who was 9 back then. My mom had passed away November 2022, so there was a lot of change in my life. But yeah, so it came as a big shock because I was prone to cysts all my life since
so
I was 12.
It was another cyst.
Yeah.
And then triple negative breast cancer. Mm. What does that mean? How is that defined?
Well, it's, you know, when I asked, I didn't even know there was different types of breast cancer. It's only when you're in it and you're sitting there in front of the surgeon or the oncologist and they're like, there's different types, and they talk about hormone and all these medical terminology that you don't understand.
Mm.
And I said, well, like, they said, so you're triple negative breast cancer. And I said, well, what does that mean? Like, you know, and they were kind of saying, well, it's the one you wouldn't want to be getting. And I was like, great. I couldn't believe it because of being vegetarian, health conscious all my life. So it just, I couldn't believe it. And
what do they mean by it's the one you don't want?
Yeah, so basically it means one in, it's the rare, more aggressive, invasive type.
Okay.
The one most likely to recur and the one harder to treat because it's non-hormonal. So it's not, so there's estrogen positive, there's HER2, there's other ones, but they're all receptive to certain hormones and treatment. Okay. So there's no hormone treatment for me afterwards.
Okay.
So it's a little scarier, to be honest.
So you had an operation and then you went on chemo.
Well, actually, because with triple negative, because it grows so fast. So I was diagnosed at stage 2B.
Mm-hmm.
So it had spread to my lymph nodes under my left arm as well. Just two. And that was scary. And it just grows so quickly that they treat you with chemo first.
Okay.
All the hormonal ones, they go with surgery first and then chemo. So chemo first, but chemo floored me. It was awful.
Was it?
Oh my God. It was the worst thing I ever went through. Because they're putting in so much poison and you feel like you're on drugs leaving there. You're getting injected with so much drugs, like, they, you know, if it drops in your skin, it burns. So you can imagine what it does to your body. I had every side effect in
Wig
World here.
And you're having to deal with telling a child all this at the same time.
My daughter was scared.
I'd say so.
I was very unwell. As I said, I'm a single parent. Now, I did have somebody there at the time to help. And yeah, and then I didn't realise. So when I, do you know, I would have a great sense of humour. And I suppose when I was getting chemo the second time, I didn't realise that my follicles were actually going to come out too over the weeks.
So
there you go.
That's where the name of your book, Meets the Follicles, comes in. Now, you have been, now, we're not going to call it a journey, as you said, but you're still on a road to recovery.
Yeah.
But you've finished the chemo and you've had the operation. You're hoping you finished chemo or?
I have, but it was not straightforward
okay.
because the side effects, I ended up in hospital with stomach infection before my surgery. Chemo had to be stopped. Basically, I suppose my thing is you're recommended 8 cycles of chemo, ACT chemo. So because I was so bad on the first, like I couldn't get off the chair. It was so bad that they stopped it and I was really ill, unwell on it. So it did feel like it was putting my lights out. So it got stopped after 3 cycles and they brought my surgery, which was supposed to be in August, forward to June 27th. So I had a bilateral mastectomy, reconstruction and 8 lymph nodes out.
Okay.
And that was something else, like, you know, that was life changing, body changing. It was very, very
awful.
It was awful. And look, the doctors were amazing. I had drains, compression bra, couldn't drive for 6 weeks. I could hardly walk. I was traumatized and I was on a lot of medication. So it took me the summer to recover. I was very, very weak. Like I could hardly walk outside the house. It was very bad. And
That's the summer before last.
Yeah, 2024. Okay. So July, August 2024, I would have been recovering. And then my daughter was going back to school in September. And that day I was starting back. She would have been 10 then. I was starting on radiotherapy, 15 sessions. So three weeks in a row, I was having radiotherapy, which I have marks there still from it. So that, like, I had fatigue from that. But fatigue is an awful thing with it because, you know, you feel unwell with it. Your legs are weak. I couldn't get up off the chair. But I managed well through radiotherapy because the rest was so tough. And then I was facing into another 8 cycles of a chemo, oral chemo, because of triple negative. The drug would be capecitabine. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And that was 120 tablets over 2 weeks. So 10 a day, 5 in the morning, 5 in the evening. That killed me as well. Very unwell. My voice was half the sound now and I couldn't get off the chair. So November, so at the beginning of December, the oncologist stopped the chemo. So that would be to mop up any cancer cells. So I suppose I don't have that comfort because it's a concern that it high recurrence. I actually have the CHEK2 gene, which I'd never heard about. Most people know about the BRCA gene.
BRCA gene, yeah.
So I got a genetics test last summer and CHEK2 gene mutation means I would have been 40% likely to get breast cancer.
Negative.
Breast cancer.
Wow. That's a lot for even me to put in my brain. I don't know how you're, like, do you still have a bit of PTSD, do you think?
I'm okay now, but
good.
Like, Dr. Jennifer, the Sulla Centre have been amazing. Dr. Jennifer Kilkus would be part of the psych oncology team. I actually interviewed her for my book because I wanted to educate people on, you know, how to support someone with cancer, because there's a lot of fear.
Mm.
There's a lot of ignorance, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I have made a whole lot of new cancer friends, I call them, and great people in my life because of it. But it changes you. It changes perspective.
Okay. You're
physically changed. You're mentally changed. You're, I mean, how you, you know, how you live your life is different. You're not the same person you were, which there's a massive grief for that, because
yeah.
I lost my hair. I lost my breasts. I'm still sore.
Mm.
I have a lot of numbness. And I, you know, it's not the same. And you kind of fall out of love and trust with your body.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes time to start to kind of, you know, like your body again.
And are you getting there?
I am. Good. I am. Yeah, yeah.
And is sea swimming helping?
Absolutely.
And the new friends that you've made and the Solace Cancer Support Centre.
Yes. Yeah. And in Dublin as well. And
and writing poems.
I love writing. It's
and
a way of expressing.
You've been doing that over 10 years.
Yeah, so. I have, for different things.
Yeah. So poetry is your genre that you like
writing.
To write in.
I love it. Yeah.
And you called it Meet the Follicles
because
your follicles left you.
They did, and because...
But you've obviously met them again because you've got a fine head of short hair there.
I do, yeah, yeah. It grows quite thick now.
Yeah. So was it not as thick as that at the start?
No.
Or before this?
No, I did have thick hair, but I suppose it was long. But I'm happy that it's grown, and that's my natural colour.
Oh, lovely.
Which
no greys in that dark hair.
Well, there's a few now, but I'm surprised really there's any there at all.
But talk to us about this book.
So I remember, I suppose it started when I remember when my hair did fall out, and I remember, you know, I'd have phrases popping into my head, and I was like, oh my God, forget Meet the Fockers. It's like Meet the Follicles, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, God, if I ever, I'll have to do a poem about that at some point. And I did. So the poem is in the book, and it's about that experience and the trauma of losing my hair. And it was very traumatizing. It actually... was so, now I'm okay now about it, but for about a year, it felt like I was diagnosed with a second cancer.
Okay.
Because our hair is so much part of our identity.
Definitely.
We love getting it done. And suddenly I didn't even need shampoo. You can imagine, like the first time.
And did you wear bandanas?
I did. I wore hat, but I didn't wear a wig just by choice.
Mm.
You know, I'd be a very natural person. And I suppose I just, but it was... it was really tough to look so different, and my daughter was scared to see me with no hair.
So, tough.
So I used to call myself Harriet Dumpty to her for a while.
And I have to say, your poems are about all the things that we've just talked about. You know, it is a roadmap for your experience. Like, I'm looking at one here called All the Right Things, which is exactly what you were talking about, how healthy you were and a vegetarian, and yet you still... got cancer. It says, love your body, feed it well, drink enough water, not too much alcohol, an active life, a nourished mind. Do all of this and you'll be fine. And that's one, there's obviously more verses to that, but that's one of the poems on Meet the Follicles by Kira Foskin. You are giving €1 donated for every book sold to the Marie Keating Foundation and the Solace Cancer Support Centre, which is, of course, based here in the southeast in Waterford. Where can people pick up this lovely little bedside book of poems?
The Book Centre, Waterford.
Okay.
And it will be sold online on Amazon.ie.
Okay,
it's not up there yet because we're just getting started with this. I will be having a photo call with Taoiseach for Breast Cancer Awareness Month and doing some work with Marie Keating as well. Maybe the Solace Centre, we'll see. Maybe some shops in Tramore. Let's see. But the Book Centre will be the main store in Waterford.
Well, it's lovely. Be a lovely present as well. Meet the Follicles, it's called, by Kira Foskin. Watch out for it in the Book Centre in Waterford and on Amazon as well. Kira, best of luck with everything. Thanks a million for coming in this morning.
Thanks so much, Orla. Thanks for having me.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's Beat, it's Sunday, it's movie time, and Channing Tatum gets his comedy chops around Roof Man. It's a crime comedy, in fact, with Kirsten Dunst too. Channing plays a real-life spree robber called Jeffrey Manchester, and Roof Man is basically loosely based on his life. Do you want to hear a clip? Of course you do.
Yes.
I'm not a bad guy.
Good morning, team.
I just made some bad choices. You gotta help me, man.
You sound crazy. Find a safe place to hide for a few months.
I would like to introduce you to someone. Would you like to go out with me?
Yes, I would very much, really, very much like to go out on a date with you.
Police believe the roof man may still be in the area.
There you go, that's Roofman. Channing Tatum does not look like Channing Tatum in this. Be warned. No, in a way,
he does look like Channing Tatum.
He doesn't. He's very skinny in it.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
There's a stage where he's having a shower now, and you will be like, he's hey.
Good to know.
That'll be the one you search up after this, I reckon. But he's still in great shape. I would never.
Okay, and maybe it's his hair has dyed really, really dark. So maybe it's that he looks quite
unusual. I do fear he's just getting older.
Well, perhaps. Yeah. Perhaps it happens to everyone, Brian. Nope, I hate to tell you that.
I'm still 16 years old.
There you go. Tell us about Roofman. I like that. This is a good premise. And Kirsten Dunst, I've never really known her to be in a comedy. Now that I think of it.
This whole cast is actually elite.
Okay.
Like every single person who has a main role in this.
Yeah,
I know from something. Lakeith Stanfield as well, generational actor. I think he's great.
Uh-huh.
Then there's Peter Dinklage is in it.
Great.
And then
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another name that I can't remember, Anna. This is going to really annoy me. She's in Ted Lasso.
Oh, I know her name. Juno or something like
Juno
that.
Juno Temple.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
So she's in it as well. So Lakeith and Juno are smaller roles, but they're still making up the different bits of the roles. But basically, it's about Jeffrey Manchester. He's a.
Did you know this story before?
I have watched a YouTube video explaining, and I was looking forward to this because I knew the story.
So it didn't happen in the 80s or 70s.
It's, no, it's 2004. I think.
Oh wow! Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, which is still 20 years ago, which is
a long time ago. But
it's basically this fella used to break into McDonald's. He broke into 45 McDonald's through the roof. He'd always be very kind to the people who he was breaking into the places of. He'd put them in the freezer, but if there's at the start, the fella didn't have a jacket, so he gave him his own jacket so he wouldn't be cold.
Okay.
And it is very funny, that whole interaction.
And he's an
ex-service
man, is that right?
Yeah, so basically he was in the Navy or something, and he just, so he has all these, abilities and stuff. And then basically he gets caught for one of them, but he's charged with, the worst thing, the 800, something he's going to be in jail for 45 years, something like that. And he breaks out of jail and they show the prison break. And then he basically sets up in a Toys R Us and he hides in there and he just lives out of there.
Don't tell us for how long.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can look up the true story.
Will
you be giving anything away by telling me, is he back in jail or not?
It is based on real life.
Okay.
So if you know him personally, you'd know what he is. But and you get the
whole.
Say
nothing.
Yeah.
So where does Kirsten Dunst come into this?
So she works in the Toys R Us. So he sets up baby monitors and it's basically used as CCTV around it so he can interact with everything.
Okay.
And basically she's an employee that has daughters of her own. And so Jeffrey Manchester has a daughter. Well, a daughter, two sons and an ex-wife.
Okay.
But when he goes into prison, that whole thing kind of falls apart.
Right.
But he befriends Kirsten Dunst and eventually... Well, I don't want to spoil it, but there was a bit of kissing going on.
And do you think that's loosely based or true?
I think I think it is a true story. I don't think it's based on true story. I think this is genuinely...
Fully the whole
story.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Because I remember watching a video where it's just explaining what happened in real life and it's essentially the exact same thing. Maybe there might have been a little thing for the sake of the film, but it's the same whole premise of the whole thing. And it's amazing because it feels so real. It feels so natural. There's no kind of over the topness about it. Everyone is quite kind. Everyone is quite nice. People he's undercover. He's this wanted criminal.
Mm-hmm.
But then people are there's this bit at the end of the film during the credits where they're the actual people from the situation are talking. They're like, I just didn't know that he was a wanted man. I just didn't see it on the news. And it's that's so fair. Do you mean if there's somebody wanted, it's not every single person is going to be checking the wanted ads all the time. You're just going to assume that they're not going to be near you. Do you know if somebody's wanted around here? I don't know.
No, me neither.
Who knows?
Obviously, Channing is well known for Magic Mike, but he also loves a comedy, doesn't he?
He is.
He is
so funny.
He's comedy gold in a way.
21 Jump Street, 22 Jump Street. She's the man.
What was the one with the dog? Remember there was one where he had a dog. He loved his dog. What was that?
That is a good show. I can't remember what that is.
Yeah. I'll
he was in Logan Lucky as well. Remember Logan Lucky?
He was in a movie called Dog.
Oh,
that was the movie called Dog. Do you remember?
No.
You definitely reviewed it.
Wait, was he an ex-army man again?
Yes.
The dog?
Yeah.
He loves his ex-army roles, doesn't he?
He does. But and he's a good actor. I suppose he's a little bit
I think he's a better comedy actor than... An actual serious actor. I don't think he is a good serious actor.
No.
I think he's built to be a comedy actor. Yeah.
He's in the John Cena type of role.
John Cena.
I always do that. It's because of the C, I think it's an S.
Yeah.
He is kind of a John Cena type character, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah,
the roles that he plays.
And because he has this like he's a big guy and you think he's going to be mean.
Yeah.
But he's just so kind and charismatic. Uh-huh. You're like, oh, okay. I didn't expect. Same with John Cena, I suppose. Like,
yeah.
Like you think this is a scary dude, but it's actually like, no, he's cuddly. He loves butterflies and being yeah. cozy. Do you know what I mean? It's
just
like
a good cuddle, I'd say.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And then Kirsten Dunst, who I haven't seen in a lot of things recently, and I cannot think of a comedy that she has been in the past. Of course, she is a multi-award winning actress.
Yeah, I've...
In Interview with a Vampire, of course, Little Women, The Virgin Suicides, all the really big hitters she's been in down through the years. And of course, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
She was in that film, was it last year or the year before? She was a journalist, remember that one?
Oh, yes, you loved that
yeah,
one.
It's not yeah. Independence Day, something
one of those
like that.
A24. Four.
It was, yeah. That was fantastic. She
Civil
was brilliant
War.
In that. Civil War, that's mm-hmm. what it is. But no, she in this, it makes me realize, yeah, I've had a crush on Kirsten Dunst in Spider-Man.
Thought you might.
Yeah, she, like every single like MJ Spider-Man, I'm always fancy them. But Kirsten, she's so nice. Like again, she's so kind in this, and she comes off as such a realistic person. Everyone in this comes off so realistic, and everyone comes off as like, this is so clearly based on a real life situation.
Yeah.
That it's just normal people living a normal life, and then this thing just seems to happen there. Because even like the pastor and stuff, like it's paid by Ben Mendelsohn. And I was so happy to see him not being a bad guy. Like he's
yeah,
a nice guy in it, like, you know.
He's always a bad guy.
And
yeah.
It's so nice that he can just be this guy and you're like, oh, he's going to turn. He's going to be the one to like give him up. It's like, no, he's just a nice guy. And then even when situations go south, let's say, like he still visits. Like they still visit. Like this is this whole thing of the... Well, it's a bit real life. I don't think it's spoilers if you say what happens. But
okay.
when he eventually does get found out, apparently like the pastor and his wife do visit him in prison, and they're like, just because you were dishonest to us doesn't mean you're a bad person overall, so like why would we kick you out of our church just
wow.
because. And I was like, that is such a nice
yeah.
thing to do, like, you know.
And Kirsten Dunst's character Lee is, you know, as you said, you think it's fully true, but they do say it's loosely based, but she is a real character.
Yeah, oh, no, she's chatting at the end of it. She's chatting at the end of the movie.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. No, but like,
okay.
the real
the
people.
Okay.
The real people.
Oh, I love when they
bits.
Do that. I love that.
And like the news things where they're like, oh, this McDonald's was broken into.
Yeah.
And the interviews, it's like, they like.
I love when they do that. They don't expect you to go home and just do all that yourself.
No,
they
no.
give it to you.
They're like, these are like, we chatted to the people. We wanted to get the story right.
Brilliant.
And then it's like, I don't know, it just felt so, it's such a harmless story. Like, even though he, like, it's a criminal and he's a bad guy and he's robbing all these things,
uh-huh.
it's like, I'd still trust him. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
That it's like, but it's
but
like,
they're the sort of movies, true or not, that work. It's the criminal with a heart.
Mm.
You don't want to see someone who's just truly bad.
No,
in
but
things,
he's like,
you know?
But even when he robs the McDonald's to begin with, it's because he can't afford a bike for his daughter and he wants to give her a good life.
There
That's why he gets all the money.
Will we be black pudding it?
Yeah, I would say it's an 8 out of 10, I would say.
Did you expect to like this as much as you liked it?
I did. Okay. That's the thing. And I had
high. Why is that?
Because I knew the story. I knew.
Okay.
I knew Channing Tatum is always one of those actors you can kind of bank on a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of know that like he's a big enough name and he has made enough money that he doesn't just take a movie because he needs a paycheck.
True.
You know?
That's true.
So he'll go because he likes the project.
8 black puddings out of 10. It's called Roofman. It's out now. You know what it's nearly time for?
Halloween.
I just can't wait. After Halloween, a few weeks after.
Running Man.
Wicked 2.
Oh.
Are you ready?
I don't
know.
Are
you ready? I'll go with you.
I've seen spoilers for it now.
Let's go together.
We said that was some...
No, no, that was your fault. The Downton Abbey thing was your fault. It's usually mine. I'm saying it now. Shake on
okay.
it again. Wicked 2, Orla and Brian in the house.
Well, no, we won't watch it in the house. We'll watch it in the cinema legally.
Yes. In the meantime, 8 black puddings out of 10 for Roofman. Brian went to see it because he is the movie guy.
Yes.
Thanks a million.
No problem.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.